Everybody, Roger and James here, Finders Kingdom. In this episode, we're going to be talking all about the LEGO Incredibles video game, which just got released in the US last week. We're just going to be sharing our early thoughts on the game because we're only a few hours into it. Well, unfortunately, the game doesn't come out over here for me for about another month. It got delayed along with the movie because of the kids' holidays and all the bits and pieces, and Disney's still thinking it's 1992. But thankfully, and I'm going to do a big shout out here to James Infinity Museum for hooking me up with being able to play. And yeah, so I've been able to actually play it over the weekend. I'm probably about 3-4 hours into it. I was at one point thinking, shall I just hold out and kind of go for the and wait till July, but I'm actually thinking now I'm just going to blast through the story. So James, did you get a chance to play it as well?
I did. I've played a handful of hours of it. I've played it, but I think we were about the same length into it.
Yeah. So what's your initial thoughts on the game so far?
I actually have quite enjoyed it. Getting into it originally, I was kind of like, it's another LEGO game. We played a lot of them last year.
Yeah.
They've kind of melded into each other. But once I actually got into it, once I got past the first level, I actually found I got pretty engaged with it. So,
How does it help? Also, because you saw Incredibles 2 over the weekends, and how does that help? Does that help with playing it?
I'm not sure if it does or not. I mean, I guess it depends on the mentality you go into it. Like, if you haven't seen the movie yet and you don't mind the game spoiling, I can imagine that you would just go story mission after story mission after story mission and not really do much of the free play mode. But it's going to be each person's individual tastes. Having seen the movie and played at least through the second level, which is the train level, they actually kind of diverge quite a bit. If not in like the basic thrust of the plot, then the individual details. Like there is a character on the second on the train level where you gain control of him and he's got electric powers. He's basically Electro. He has nothing to do with that scene in the movie at all.
Yeah.
Like,
that's the thing, because I'm coming in blind, so this is where movie games, like, you know, because we don't get them anymore, this used to be standard fare. You know, we've had it before where movies deviate from the things, and the Disney Infinity Force Awakens playset, which was nothing like the movie. So for me, playing it through, we know that it could spoil it, because that's why they've delayed the game till that comes out, so I'm kind of... The only thing that's bugging me is it's like retelling of the 1 and 2. Why didn't they start with 1 first and go into 2? I mean, obviously, I'm only halfway through or a couple further away. It feels a bit like, well, why are we going backwards? It's like you're focusing on the new stuff from the rather than kind of building up to that. I would have felt it's like, well, we're jumping straight into it I know I'm going to start getting annoyed when I start going backwards, because it's like, well, we've just done the new stuff.
Right, and I think the reason they did it, although it might not necessarily be a good reason, is because they want the hub area to be the entire city plus the new house that the Incredibles have. So by jumping straight into Incredibles 2, you get the hub right away. And then you can branch out into free play where it's got all the, you know, city park and whatnot. I think that's why they did it, but I definitely agree it was an odd choice to start with Incredibles 2 rather than going in Incredibles 1.
Because it was almost that thing of, like you say, beating syndrome, then having the Underminer, and then going in and then moving on, because the movie picks up straight away, as you said. That kind of has a natural flow to it, rather than the kind of weird way of doing it. I'm going to be honest, I've been a little bit lukewarm to this game since it got announced. I knew I was going to play it. I knew I would probably enjoy it, but it was that kind of situation of I never really got that excited about it, because while I like The Incredibles, it's just a reskin of the Marvel ones in terms of the characters and stuff. So I feel like that maybe had it been Toy Story Lego or Pixar Lego, I might have been a little, but it was the fact that it's just I think my head just instantly just flipped to the idea of, well, they're just reskinning some of the Marvel characters.
Right, and I think there is some truth to that, but also having played it for a little while, you do kind of notice that there is a lot more of an emphasis on teaming the characters up. Like, you can have Violet do her force field ball, and Dash can pop into... Actually, any of the characters can pop into the ball and move them around like they did in the first movie. Mr. Incredible likes to pick up characters and throw them at stuff that they can't reach and so on. So there's a lot of interaction between the characters that you don't get with the Marvel game. Also, since you really are focused on the four characters plus Frozone, there is a much more focused storytelling aspect to it, which I appreciate.
And also that thing of flicking between the characters is, I prefer having a smaller roster. I think it helps better having a bit of thing. Playing through it, the graphic wise, it just looks like a Lego. It's been upgraded, but I have been having a few technical issues. I had a major point where I was on top of the train and I finished, and basically Mrs. Incredible got kind of on the actual Incredibles mat thing that they had, and it wouldn't let me move and it wouldn't let me exit, and I couldn't transfer to the other character, and it was... And I ended up having to reboot and redo that whole level again. I found the controls of the vehicles to be so sloppy. They were really kind of difficult. Like, it felt like I wasn't... I don't know. And also, just trying to get the character... Like, trying to get Dash to jump into that ball. I mean, I think I spent, like, 5 minutes trying to get him in there. Because And it was just like, this is a... we've said about it in the past with LEGO games, where we're frustrated that something so simple is taking us so long, and we're adults, and it shouldn't be taking us this long, because we know what we're doing, but we can't... It just doesn't... And I found it was, again, this that frustration with LEGO games of, do this and that, but why can't you... It's just do it. I know what it needs to be doing. I'm pressing the button, but it's just not working.
Right, because you're not in that... one spot that the game wants you to be in when you do it. You're just like a foot off of it. I have encountered that as well. I haven't encountered it as much as I encountered it in Marvel Super Heroes 2. But yeah, I've definitely noticed that. I've also noticed that vehicles love to get stuck on the wall. Even if you hit them at just like a slight angle, the vehicle just comes to a dead stop. You have to back up and then go again. And it's just kind of... irritating. There are little small irritants, and these have been building up in the LEGO games. I mean, ever since at least Force Awakens, if not earlier, these little irritations are getting more and more kind of pronounced as the games go on. And it's not that we're more aware of them, it's that they're definitely more of them.
Yeah. It's almost that thing as well of the games are getting more complex, but they're not fixing or dealing with the issues of the end. Because this is the same engine they've been building on for so long. You know, it's not like this is a new, brand new, and you know, it's still a variation of the same thing they were doing on the PS2.
Right. Yeah. This is definitely, you can see that it has been aging. This is the same thing we're seeing with the Telltale games, and probably why they've been on hiatus for a little while. It's time for a brand new from the ground up. Engine, which, I mean, I'm hoping that, you know, the next Star Wars game they announce will be the one that does that. Because right now we don't know anything past the end of this year. We don't know what's after LEGO DC Villains, which obviously DC is not part of the Disney umbrella. So I will get it when it hits $20. I'm not going to get that opening day, just like Incredibles
Marvel. I think for me it's that thing of, I'm actually, when they announced DC, I was actually quite glad, because it actually is going to give me a break from these games, because it doesn't feel like we're getting the DLC like we did with the Marvel ones to keep jumping back in. Because I think that was the thing with LEGO Marvel, is I think because we just literally just had those, we've still got the Ant-Man and, we've still got Ant-Man.
We actually have, I think, two to go.
Yeah, so we've still got a few more DLC, where I think with this Incredibles one, there is no season pass and stuff like that. It's a shame, because I love in the fact of having a new kind of LEGO game with the new characters, loving having a movie tie-in game, and like, I like, it's like, we haven't seen this for so long, it's great to have it. But, again, this is what problem is with tie-in games, of that idea of why people... sort of I've lost faith in them, is because of these little touches that aren't quite on par with other ones.
To be fair, to be fair, most complaints with tie-in games aren't small issues. No. They tend to be very sloppily put together games, at least back in the day. LEGO Incredibles is nowhere near the level of some of those cash-ins. No. But you are right. There are little tiny things that kind of break the polish of the game that will irritate people. Now, having said all of that, it's still a perfectly solid LEGO game. It's going to be, the kids are going to enjoy it. You will enjoy playing it with the kids. There is actually a surprisingly big roster on this.
Yeah.
I noticed that they did kind of dip outside of the Incredibles well.
Yeah, that was the thing I was going to mention. They've brought in other characters from Pixar, but they've only brought in Dory, Woody, Lightning McQueen. I think there's a few references. Wall-E.
Barrett is in there.
But they've only brought in the main characters, and they've had little worlds in there, because I discovered the Finding Nemo, Finding Dory area and unlocked that section and unlocked Dory. So I haven't gone in that area yet to see what it is. And I know they've got this blind bag system of getting characters.
Yeah, which is weird. Let's come back to that in a second.
I don't mind them bringing in the idea of having the extra Pixar characters as additional characters just to boost it up and kind of add it. But at the same time, it's a little bit that means there's not enough content in The Incredibles if you've had to. There's one thing having the odd, if there's the Easter eggs and the things like that, but it did feel a little bit like, well, hold on a minute. You've put in a whole section of the map for just Finding Dory. That did seem a little bit... it's great. It's that kind of weird thing of, on one hand, I'm like, that's great that they've added all this extra content in and they've boosted it out and it's filled out the game a bit. But on the other hand, going, but then that should have just been kept for the Pixar LEGO game.
Yeah, and I suspect that it might be an advertisement to Disney for either a Pixar or a Disney LEGO game. I actually would have preferred if the roster size was even smaller than it is. It's actually at 113 characters, but the majority of the characters are henchmen and characters like that, just like in the Star Wars and the LEGO Marvel games.
I know when I brought up the menu screen, I was like, ooh, it's like, at least it's not as bad as Marvel. It's not as bad as Marvel, but then I'm like, how have we got this many characters? It just didn't... It's like, there's probably only 10, 15 characters from The Incredibles anyway, even if you include, side villains and stuff. It was just like, that's a lot to fill in. And I don't know. I think it's great that they're doing these Easter eggs and stuff. I do think... And the kids are going to enjoy it. People are going to enjoy unlocking them. And it's additional content to go and find in the game. So I've got to say, it was a good idea for them to how to fill out the game a bit, and I think that it was a good idea.
Yeah, it was a good idea to include the Pixar characters. I would have included significantly less of the henchmen and the villain characters, because like I said earlier in this episode, I think the biggest strength of this particular game is its focus on the four main characters in Frozone.
Yeah.
You know, if not just the story, but your emphasis on going into levels and going back into levels is still on the Incredibles themselves, I think it's a much tighter game than, well, we're going to send you into the mission with Elastigirl, one of Bon Voyage's henchmen, one of the ice cream person's henchmen. And I don't care about those characters. I want my Pixar characters, I want my Incredibles characters.
Yeah, it's almost that thing, isn't it, of well, we can do it, and we're going to put it in there just so you've got the option if you want to. It's like, yeah, how many people are going to play as the ice cream thing? I must admit, I did enjoy driving around as an ice cream van. Took me back to when I was 17 and I had an ice cream van driving around as my job. So I always love it when we get an ice cream van in a video game. But that's a personal preference. Not a lot of people get to do that. So as far as that goes, also back onto this blind bag thing. One of the things that really annoyed me was when I was opening blind bags and getting characters which I just literally played as Frozone. It was like, why have I been given Frozone? I should have automatically kind of got him.
Yeah, I think the blind bags aren't actually randomized, which is kind of odd. I mean, it kind of gives that loot box vibe, which is obviously something gamers don't react well to at the moment or ever. But one, let's be clear, you can't buy the blind bags. They're not real money involved here. This is just them being like, oh, we're adding the collecting appeal to it. You open the bag and you get the character. And two, I don't think that they're actually random. I think, it's just a different way to acquire the characters. I'm not sure why they thought this was a good idea. I kind of get it as the, kids are going to enjoy collecting it, but adults are going to be like, oh, no, we don't want this.
Yeah, because you normally used to be able to go through like the mini and go, like, buy this character for this many studs and this one. And I could have all the henchmen I could just avoid and just not bother with and just go straight to the good ones. So this is going to force you into trying to. And it's like, there's on one hand, this is going to be a great, certain type of players are going to get so many hours of enjoyment out of this game by trying to unlock everything. I'm not that kind of person. I will get in, jump in, play. And I am not putting in the hours to do the unlocks because I don't have that type of personality where I need to unlock everything. It's not that. I don't have that in video games. So, yeah, it's like I don't want to get all the studs to get 15 blind bags and just get henchmen when I would have preferred to have. At least the pixel blind bags are a little bit more better on that one.
Yeah, and I'll grant them. I'll probably go out of my way to collect all the Pixar characters, but I'm definitely not going for all 113. Once I get that top row, just like Lego Marvel Superheroes seems to be like the core characters, the variants on the various incredible characters, because we've already seen, you can get Elastigirl in her Incredibles costume from the first movie. You can get her in the updated Elastigirl costume from Incredibles 2. And all the other characters have stuff like that as well. So, I'll get that first row. I'll get the Pixar characters. The rest, I don't remotely care about.
Yeah, for me, what we'll probably do is that thing as well of we probably might retouch on this once we've kind of completed the game in a week or two. But I'm going to be doing like a written review for this thing. Once I always feel like I have to finish at least the story and play some of the thing and kind of go through all that first, really, before I kind of can give my like score or kind of thing. But at the minute, early impressions are solid. I'm glad, it'd be nice to kind of go through the story and stuff, but it's not really, I don't know. It's hard to say. It's hard really to thing on it. I can't quite put my finger on it. It's just not quite hitting it to the point where I may be coming off of some big games like God of War and stuff, which I know you shouldn't compare them to, where I could not wait in the evening to jump into that one and would end up staying up late because I just wanted just to keep going because I was loving it. Whereas this feels like, how much long? It's like that thing of like, it's difficult. It's a shame because I was looking forward to this one. Whereas like Spider-Man I know Spider-Man is going to draw me in. I know there's different kind of budgets and stuff, but I'm just being honest of how I feel at this point.
And I think, honestly, especially for us, we have been playing almost all of the LEGO games. We have talked about every LEGO game that has come out since at least I joined this show.
Yeah.
I don't want to say fatigue because I really hate the fatigue term that's been throwing around the industry. And we'll actually talk about that again later this week when we talk about Solo. But, the LEGO games aren't different enough for people who play all of them. They're as much as I do enjoy this one, and I do like the incredible skin on top of it, it really is not different enough from LEGO Marvel Super Heroes 2 to make me go, ooh, this is a fantastic new game. This is more of a, this is kind of a bigger DLC for Marvel Super Heroes 2.
I think maybe if we hadn't have played, if when Marvel came out in November and we played it then, and we haven't actually, if we hadn't have actually touched it for maybe 5-6 months, I think because we've been doing like the weekly or the fortnightly DLC, we've been playing Lego Marvel for the past couple of months regularly. So it's not like we feel, that's just maybe why we're not quite feeling it the same of Lego. It just feels much the same.
Right. So I would conclude that by saying, if you haven't been playing Lego Marvel Super Heroes 2, you beat the main story and you were done. You didn't do any of the DLC, or if you did do the DLC, you did it all in one go, because Lord knows you could do it all in about an hour. Yeah, I would say Incredibles 2 would be a great pickup if you're looking for some new LEGO action. But if you have been playing, you know, Marvel Super Heroes off and on with the DLC coming out, etc., or, you know, you just got it because it's frequently on sale, as all the LEGO games are, yeah, maybe wait a little bit on the Incredibles. Mm. So
yeah. No, like I said, good, solid game. I think if you're a fan of LEGO games, you're going to enjoy it. It's the same thing you've had before. Incredibles and stuff to cover on it is good. I am enjoying it, but it's not quite scratching. It's not hitting that kind of feeling of. I think once I kind of finish the main bit, I don't know if I will. Yeah, it's just a bit of an odd one. It's hard to say. In an early stage, I'm not feeling like I want to get it done. I want to get the story done anyway. But yeah, generally good. I think you're going to enjoy it if you like it. But on that note, guys, let us know what guys think of LEGO Incredibles 2 so far. Let us know in the comments or on social media. You can find us on all the different platforms, so make sure you follow, like, subscribe, bookmark, whichever. And James, where can they find you?
You can find me, heroiclegacy.com.
On that note, guys, thank you very much for joining us. We'll be back soon. Laters.
Later.